Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence here, Lord. I ask, Spirit, that you would move among us, that you would touch hearts, that you would use your words this morning, Lord. Speak through me. Let it not be my voice, but your voice that people hear. And touch hearts and change lives, Lord. Make us more like our Savior. And we ask all of this in his name. All God's children said, amen. Amen. About a month ago, I asked the Lord, okay, Lord, you know what? It's reminded me to do something different. Open your Bibles again to Psalms, chapter 32. Yeah, this shouldn't be hard. If you had a finger for the last 30 minutes, you're in good shape. Psalm 32, beginning with verse 1. Got it out of the NIV this morning. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Something we all in Florida know about. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave my guilt and my sin. When I knew I was going to give this message, I asked the Lord for a topic. And instead of giving me a specific passage, he told me that I should talk about forgiveness, right? And forgiveness, I'm convinced that forgiveness is a key, one of the keys to a blessed Christian life. Without forgiveness, you're missing. God bless you, sweetheart.
Thank you.
That's my wife, for those of you who are watching on online. Man, that would have been bad. Forgiveness, it's near and dear to my heart, okay? I know I'm not as entertaining as Pastor Darren. I'm not going to stand on the chairs up here unless there's an alligator or snakes in the room. I don't do impressions, which is a blessing for you all. But as a pastor, I've been blessed to see people healed in so many different ways through forgiveness. It's fascinating. This morning I'm driving in and I had Moody Radio on, right? And they used an analogy and they talked about the I was going to call them idiot lights, but the warning lights on your dashboard. And that when the warning light goes off, right, well, you have to figure out what the problem is, right? And I've got the low tire light is on in my car, right, second time, and that. I checked first. I began by checking the tires. They were all fine. It turned out it's one of the batteries has gone dead. But when we have our emotions are like the warning light on our dashboard for our Christian life. You know, when we're angry, when we're anxious, when we're fearful, you know, when we can't control ourselves, when we're dealing with addictions, right? All of those things, those are warning lights. Right, they're going off. We need to find out what's underneath, what's wrong. And like I say, I've been with people, and the warning lights go off, we'll be in prayer, and forgiveness is what's wrong. That's where the solution is. Now, I'd like to put forgiveness in perspective. Right? In the beginning, right? We all know the passage. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But why did he do it? And I'd like to know what you think, why God created the heavens and the earth. It's an important question here. Okay, Pete, why do you think God created the heavens? I didn't turn it on, did I? On the bottom.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious God loves us. He created us because he wanted a family. And with the Trinity, it is a family. It's a Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they all complement each other. And I think God has that love for his family. He wants us to have that same love and be part of that trio.
Okay. Anyone else? You want to pass? Well, yeah, no, hang on, because I may be able to hear you, Danielle, but I don't know that the ones in the back can.
To have good people and follow the good word.
Okay. Okay. And that
for his own glory.
Okay. Jason, Stan had his hand raised over here. Stan, raise your hand so Jason can find you, please.
God wanted a family to be with him. He wants precious, loving, forgiving souls to love one another. Our life is a test. The test is either we will work with God and submit to him and do things his way and love him, or we'll do things on our own way. So our life and the world is all about a test to see what we're going to do with our lives so that we can either be one with him in heaven or be with ourselves in hell.
You know, I would say that it's a combination. Those are all good answers. And it's a combination, right? Now, Scripture tells us that God is love, right? Is love, right? Well, love to be complete needs to have someone to love. You can't love in an empty void. So God creates man. But love also requires a choice, right? If God had created robots that were programmed to love him, well, that's not real love, right? But the choice, and God knew that we wouldn't always be loving, that we would fail. And so God knew from the very start that by giving us a choice, that there would be times that we would fail and we would need forgiveness. Right? And that at the very beginning, God had grace and forgiveness in his plan for the world. Right? Look at Genesis, right? He's talking to Satan here, and he says, Jesus, will crush your head. Right? Well, how did Jesus do that? He did that on the cross. Right? Jesus' sacrifice, his grace, his forgiveness was God's plan from the very beginning. From the Garden of Eden, his plan was about forgiveness. Right? Well, what about the end? Well, these are Jesus' words when he was on the cross. Right? Now remember, he was sinless. There was no reason for him to be on the cross except for our sin. My sin, your sin, the sin of all mankind. Right? Now, if it were me, I would be cursing everybody. What did Jesus do? Right? One of his last phrase words were, "Father, forgive them. Forgive them." He's forgiving people while he's dying on the cross. Right? Jesus' sacrifice, forgiveness, grace, was God's plan for the end. It was God's plan from the beginning and the end. And when we talk about forgiveness, we're talking about grace. Right? Jesus emphasized forgiveness in his ministry. Right? In Matthew, right, these are his words. "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." That's a heavy verse. This is one of the few things that the Lord included in the Lord's Prayer. Think about it, right? The disciples asked Jesus how to pray. Right? Jesus is going to give them the key points. Right? This isn't the Sermon on the Mount. This is bullet point stuff in the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father, art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." To Jesus, forgiveness for the disciples. This was a bullet point. Right? He's saying, you guys need to understand this. This is important stuff. Don't miss this part of the message. Well, why is forgiveness so important? Right? Well, we're told that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Right? So that means that each and every one of us, at some point in our life, need forgiveness. Not only from the Lord, but we've sinned against other people. Maybe the person who's sitting next to you. I don't know. Now, I'm going to, in a moment, do something a little unusual, right? But you can ask yourself, who would you have me forgive? Ask the Lord who he would have you forgive. I phrased that wrong, right? Perhaps it's your father or mother. You know, were you abused in childhood? Physically, emotionally? Did you have a parent that said that you would never amount to anything, that you'd always be a bum? Do you have a father who was addicted and mistreated you? Right? Maybe you had a friend that backstabbed you. Or maybe when you were in high school, your best friend took your boyfriend. Right? Maybe you had a teacher that said that you were no good at math, you'd never be a good teacher that picked on you in class. Right? Maybe you had a coworker or a boss who treated you badly. I had a boss for 4 years that he was miserable, and yet the Lord wanted me to be there. You might need to forgive yourself. Right? There's things that we've done that we have a hard time forgiving ourselves. You might need to forgive God. Now, God doesn't sin against us, but we attribute bad things to him. Right? I know in grief share, if you lose a loved one, especially someone who's young, it's like, Lord, why did you take this? Why did you take my baby? Why did you take my child? I'm mad at you. Maybe I need to forgive God. Now, you may be saying, but I don't have anyone to forgive. I'm clean with everyone. Well, I'm going to challenge that here in a moment. Because there's a good chance, a lot of times when bad things happen to us, our brains have a way of compartmentalizing. We build a cocoon around it. We shut the door, stick it in the closet, lock the door, and throw away the key so we don't ever have to visit that emotion again. I don't have anybody to forgive. Well, maybe it's true, maybe it's not. Here's some ways to check to see if it is true, right? And that call this a forgiveness test. Right? Does remembering a particular event trigger a strong emotional reaction? Does remembering trigger a physical reaction or discomfort? When you have a memory, does your heart race? Does your breathing get shallow? Blood pressure go up? Get a headache? Does a painful experience bring to mind anything for which God can be praised or thanked? All things that work together for good for those who love him. Right? That means even the bad things that people do to me, and that God's going to work them for good. Can I find a way to thank him, be thankful in the bad event? If not, I've got somebody to forgive. Can the offender be thought of with a sense of sincere wish for good in his or her life? Lord wishes that none would perish. All would come to him for forgiveness. When somebody does something bad to me, do I put him in a place that I wish that he would walk to the Lord, confess his sin, and receive the Lord's forgiveness? Is that where my heart is? Or is my heart still hard? I want God to turn his back on this person. If you see them, do you greet them or duck or avoid them. That one's obvious. You guys know exactly what that's about. Are you able to feel comfortable around them? Would you avoid going to a party where you might meet them? I've heard people go, yeah, no, they're going to be at Thanksgiving dinner. I'm just going to skip that and stay home. So I'm going to do something a touch unusual here. Right? I'm going to go to the Lord and ask him to reveal to you who he would have you forgive. Okay? I'm going to ask you all to close your eyes, bow your heads, and I'm going to pray to the Lord. And if the Lord brings somebody to your heart, would you please raise your hand? Not so much so I can see, but so that you know that the Lord has touched your heart and put somebody on your heart. Father God, your children are here, Lord. Would you bring to mind who anyone here needs to forgive, Lord? Just bring it to their mind. And Lord, don't let them try to think of somebody. Just let it come to them naturally, Lord, coming from you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, let's go on. What is forgiveness? Well, forgiveness is recognizing that you've been wronged. You need to understand what has happened to you. You can't forgive something that you don't acknowledge, that you won't admit. And sometimes that's quite hard. If you've been molested sexually or hurt very bad emotionally, physically, and that sometimes it's hard to come to grips with what has happened to you. But to truly forgive, you need to. You need to give up. Forgiveness is giving up resentment and judgment. Judgment is mine, saith the Lord. Right. Forgiveness is giving that up, giving it over to the Lord. And responding to the person with compassion and love. Wanting them to have that meeting with the Lord where they receive God's forgiveness. Because if they sinned against us, they've sinned against God. Same thing when we've sinned against someone, we've sinned against God. Forgiveness is not condoning, excusing, or denying that the events happened. I don't like the phrase forgive and forget, because it's not true. We're not dealing with pretend world. If bad things happen to you, acknowledge that they happen to you, but let the Lord bring healing to that place. Don't deny it happened. Let the Lord bring healing to that place. And that, so forgiveness is not condoning it. Right? It's not saying it's okay. He knifed me. That's not okay. He took my money. He stole from me. That's not okay. It's not okay. Sin needs to be called out for what it is. We need to acknowledge it when it happens. But we release the offender from the appropriate consequences. Okay. Now, I need to define what that means, appropriate consequences. It's not saying that if somebody steals from me, it doesn't mean that I need to not press charges. It means that I forgive them in a spiritual sense. In that. But if there's a legal requirement, they still need to face that. Now, why would we refuse to forgive? And I see this quite often, right? We have a whole bunch of reasons why we won't forgive. And there's a reason why I picked this picture, right? Because it's a deception when we refuse to forgive. And that deception is a bunch of lies that comes from the enemy. And I thought this guy looked a lot enemy-like, right? And here's some of the reasons that we may give and that we're not willing to forgive someone, all right? I believe that I am punishing them. I'm withholding my forgiveness, and that's hurting them. Truth is, it's only hurting you, all right? The law is on my side, okay? And your point is, let the law render unto Caesar, render unto the Lord, But I was right. Again, does it make a difference? They got what they deserved. This is the only way I can get back at them. So they have sinned against you, and your solution is to sin against them? How is that going to work out? They must pay the price. We all want justice, don't we? They got to pay the price. Let's forget about Jesus on the cross. I have a right to be angry. I want vengeance. One of my favorites is the last one. It's not fair. It's not fair what they did. Imagine Jesus on the cross, right? And you imagine Jesus saying to the Lord, "It's not fair. I want vengeance. They'll get what they deserve." Imagine Jesus using any of these excuses for being unforgiving. I hardly think so. Yes, the microphone, please. Where'd the microphone go? Jason's got it.
What if they don't think they did anything wrong, or they've never repented or apologized?
Okay, good. That's a very good question. That's a very good question. And I'm going to answer it in a little more general way. Forgiveness is your choice. If they haven't, say they haven't apologized, right? And you go, "Well, I will forgive them when they apologize to me, when they ask for forgiveness." Okay, it seems like a reasonable position. Who's in control? They are. They are. And here, I'm going to show you the cost of unforgiveness here, right? So you've put them in a position of determining whether you're going to pay the cost of unforgiveness or not. That strikes me as being stupid. Well, isn't it? I'm going to let them, the person that hurt me to begin with, I'm going to put my health in their hands. Hello? I mean, come on, that is dumb. I can forgive someone whether they have asked for forgiveness or not. They may not even realize that they sinned against you. They may be dead for all accounts. You have control. You make the choice as to whether you're going to forgive or not. It's up to you. Don't leave it up to them. Right now, unforgiveness is costly. Yeah, microphone, please.
What I've seen a lot is something bad happens, and instead of facing it, you just kind of push it down. And you just don't even, I feel like the word is face it. You don't face it, you don't forgive, you don't. I've seen that in a lot of people that I love. And I feel like that is unforgiveness because you're not.
You're
not forgiving because you're not actually.
You're absolutely right. And I think Pastor Darren wants the microphone next. I can see that. I can see the look on his face. I know I'm doing.
You're doing a really good job with this, Pastor. I just wanted to mention one thing in response to what you said. Directly, no.
Oh, I didn't mean. He didn't mean that at all.
So what we do is your question was, what if they don't even realize that they've done, you know, what they've done? And Matthew, the great place to go for me is Matthew 18. And if a brother sins against you, it says to go to that person just between them. What we want to do is we get a lot of people on our side. This is how I took it. This is my perspective. This is what I think. And then we get this little gaggle of quiet people. It says go to that person, just you and them. If they don't listen, then grab another brother and say, "Hey, you know, this happened here as well." Go to them. And so and if they don't listen, you know, tell it to the church leadership if you have to, and get them involved. But if they don't listen, it says to treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. And what I mean by that is, what I try to do is to, I try as best as I can, because sometimes you get hurt a lot. It's like a lot of false stuff, and you have to kind of go in with the right, help me have the right attitude because I don't like this. And so my heart, though, based on what Pastor Gary is telling me, is to forgive and to have a heart of forgiveness even before I go in there. Because this way, if they receive it, what I'm saying, and they repent, then I feel great. And if they don't receive it, well, you know what? That's on them. I've already done what I'm supposed to do with the Lord. And as far as treating them as a pagan or a tax collector, Jesus says to treat everyone with respect, right? So even I would treat them with respect. However, what he's trying to say is the relationship is going to be different. If they don't repent, then you know what? And the reason why we treat them, after we've told them our sin, we've pleaded, we've shared with them, and if they really don't see it, we're to treat them differently, not meanly or disrespectfully, but differently. That close fellowship can't be there because they're still in sin. Does that make sense? Okay, I'm sorry, Pastor.
No, don't be sorry. No, you're right. You're right. And that, yeah, I was focused on the forgiveness side, not how to handle when that part of it. And I certainly didn't mean to imply.
Yeah.
Right. Unforgiveness is costly. This is how I see it come up so often, right? One is that you'll be emotionally tied to the hurt of the past. Yeah, you'll live there in that. You know, a good example, you know, say you got cheated by a used car salesman, right? Every time you go shopping for a car, you're going to have that memory. You're going to be tied to that past memory. It's never going to be healed.
No, used car salesman's
up. No. Some are good and some are bad, right? You know, Isaiah tells us to forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past, right? See, I am doing a new thing. I'm doing forgiveness. That's what Jesus said. Right? You'll play it over and over again. Yeah. Yeah. And go to bed and your mind is still, well, they did this to me. Man, that hurt. Sleepless nights. Yeah, pass the microphone on to Crystal here. Some. Thanks, Amanda.
Thank you. I was wondering, is there such thing as like righteous anger? And also, mm-hmm. I feel a lot of times with believers that I've experienced that when they do something like really wrong, they are quick to say, well, you know, you're a Christian, you're supposed to forgive me. And yes, I feel like we were supposed to forgive, but what about like working through it? Some people just think, you know, oh, we're Christians, you're just supposed to forgive me and move on. And, you know, and what about working on it and correcting it instead of pretending it never happened?
There's about three questions there.
Sorry.
Okay, let me see if I can remember all of them.
I'm sorry.
Having my old man memory here. Well, okay, the first is
righteous anger.
Yes, thank you, Natalie Letario. Spell like letter with an I-O on the end.
That's it.
I get it eventually. Okay, righteous anger. Yes, there is a righteous anger. There are things, sin should anger us. It should anger us. And that it's how we respond to the anger, how we react to the anger, that's important. Right? There's things that we can do and that when we're angry, that are appropriate. There's things that we can do when we're angry that aren't appropriate and that the Lord would not have us do. Okay, let's see. What was the second? The second part was when somebody they sinned against you and they say, well, you're a Christian, you're supposed to forgive it. I'm just going to keep doing what I want. Okay, we're going to get into that a little bit later on. Okay, it doesn't mean, forgiveness doesn't mean that you let this person keep doing the same thing to you. That's silly. You know, I mean, if somebody's stolen from me, I'm not going to set myself up to be robbed again. And I was like, come on, that doesn't make any sense. Somebody burglarizes my home, and that I need to forgive him. I do need to see the police about having him prosecuted. I need to call my insurance company, too. We don't want to talk about insurance companies this week. But I don't give him an invite to come back into my house and rob me again.
That's right. Exactly.
Right. What was the third?
There was a,
working through it. Okay, and we're gonna get to working through forgiveness in toward the back.
I don't really have a question, but what came to my mind is the word vulnerability. So I think that when you forgive somebody, that Jesus wanted us to be vulnerable, because when you're vulnerable, it opens you up to receive the good things that he has in that moment.
Thank you. Okay, Miss Peggy, and then we're going to go back.
I just like to say this, that forgiveness, yes, as we've been saying, does not excuse somebody's actions, whether they did it knowingly or unknowingly. It does not excuse their actions. We've discussed that. But forgiveness that we start to do, it stops their actions from destroying us. And that is the first step to begin to forgive somebody that's hurt us. I have seen people that hold it and won't forgive, and I've seen their lives destroyed. And I don't want that for any brother or sister. So the steps are to forgive, whether you feel like it, you don't feel like it. It's what God wants, that you are not destroyed. So yes, forgiveness does not excuse their actions, but their forgiveness will stop their actions from destroying us.
Peggy described a slide that I've got coming up here in about six. Did a marvelous job, much better than I could have done. And another way that you'll be hurt by unforgiveness is you'll be bound to the person that hurt you. Right? Because you'll be thinking about them. The person did something bad to you, and now they're stuck in your brain. You've given them free rent in your mind. Right? You know, you think about it. It's like being emotionally handcuffed to the person who hurt you. I don't want that. You will become the tormented one. This is what Peggy was just saying. And that, you know, you're the one that's tormented. Their injury to you will keep repeating. That's what the devil wants, right? This may be the most important one. Your relationship with God will be affected, right? Jesus told the disciples, if you have something against a brother, go to that brother, and that before you come to make your offering. Your relationships with others will be affected. If we're holding unforgiveness, and that there's a bitterness in our heart, there's a bitterness in our mind, and that others see it. Now, you've probably heard me share this, right? The Lord is three part, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We're three part people too, right? We have a physical body, we have a brain, emotions, and we have a spiritual body. And they all, health of one affects all of them. And then, excuse me for the Venn diagram, but it was a good way to explain this. This is what Peggy was talking about. Yeah, I picked, I know. Hey, you should have seen some of the ones I turned down. But think about it, right? If you have a wound, right, you put an antibacterial on it, right? And that's so you don't get an infection. Because if you get an infection, it invades your body, can eventually invade your blood system, and if left long enough, it'll kill you. Well, unforgiveness is the exact same thing. You have an emotional wound, right? The antibiotic is forgiveness. Left untreated, now it starts to eat at your mind. Starts to eat at your body. That unforgiveness is going to raise your blood pressure, could cause ulcers, all kinds of problems. It's going to affect your spiritual relationship with your Father. Eventually, it will kill you. Now, here's some truth about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a choice. It's your choice. Don't leave it in anyone else's hands. Do what the Lord tells you to do. Forgive, right? It's a lifestyle. When you're used to forgiving people, right, the more you forgive, it's like any muscle. The more you forgive, the more you're able to forgive, and the smoother your life will go. Because you know what? I hope everyone in here knows the Lord is, knows Jesus as Lord and Savior. But as brothers and sisters, we still bump up against each other. Yeah, Lord, told me not to say that, so I won't. I wanted to. But we rub up against each other. Right? We're going to sin against each other. It happens. Sometimes it's unintentional. Sometimes, unfortunately, it's intentional. And making it a lifestyle makes your life go a whole lot easier. Right? Forgiveness is releasing that offender to God, giving that person over to the Lord. Lord, he sinned against me. I'm giving him to you. Right? Forgiveness gives the offender what they need, not what they deserve. Think of the cross again. Thankfully, we didn't get what we deserved. Thankfully, we got what we needed. It makes it possible for us to walk in unity with each other. If I'm holding unforgiveness against someone here, can we really work together? Can we do the Lord's work together? Forgiveness brings us back into a relationship with God. It's interesting, for the last 20 years I've studied where I can, as a layman, brain science. And there's something they call cognitive dissonance. And that's a fancy term for saying you can't believe two opposing things at the same time. You can't believe black and white at the same time. Now think about this. I think that somebody, we're going to say, anybody in here named Sam, right? No, I believe Sam did something wrong to me. Right? I can't forgive Sam. What he did is unforgivable. But I want to go and believe that everything that I've done is forgivable to the Lord. Cognitive dissonance. My brain won't accept that. My brain goes, well, if he did something that's unforgivable, maybe you did too. I've had people come to me going, well, you know, I made the sinner's prayer. Jesus, really, I love Jesus. I just want to live after Jesus, but I'm not sure that I'm really saved. Quite often it's because there's some unforgiveness in their heart. And they think that they may have done some sin that is not forgivable. Okay. How to forgive. I chose this slide for a reason. You notice there's a pathway, and it's going to take this man more than one, two steps to get to forgiveness. Forgiveness is a journey. It's not one step. Now, I hear often from people, I forgave them, but I can't forget what they did. Okay, well, you don't forget what they did, but have you really forgiven them? I think as believers, I call it forgiveness light. It tastes great, but it's less filling. And that's not a recommendation to go out and buy beer. But as believers, we know we're supposed to forgive. So somebody does something bad, right? And maybe like Crystal's example, you know, I'm quick to say, okay, I forgive them. But it keeps coming back to me. I don't want to be around them. It keeps playing through my mind, the examples that we had a few minutes ago. And I haven't really forgiven them. And here's why. Forgiveness means recognizing that you've been wronged and hurt. Acknowledging the sin that happened against you, whether it was intentional or not. Microphone to Stan.
Who has the microphone? Somebody's got it. Oh, Jason's got it. Okay. You need to put one of those air tags on the microphone.
Yes, yes. I didn't realize that I needed to at one point in time work for the government when I was in my 20s, when I escaped through a little bitty window in a third world country. And when I got back to the United States, I carried that for 10 years until I forgave them. And it was a person in, you know, I thought they were my friends, you know, working on a case. Well, it turned out that I had to ride back. I didn't know it at the time, but I had to ride back with my, you know, when he says walk a mile with your enemies or whatnot. I did 1,800 mile, you know. So when I got back, I didn't even know. But once I forgave him. But I can't think about what happened. Because if I do, I acknowledge that it happened because it did happen, and I forgave him, but I don't want, it's gone. It's like, I do want to forget it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I forgive him, and I don't want to go back there. You know what I mean? It was horrible.
Yeah. Now, when I say forgive and forget isn't true, I don't mean what happened is real, but you don't dwell on it. It doesn't have the same impact on your life. You can go back to that memory, and it's not all negative. It's not all what was done to you. It's that the wound is healed. The slide we had a little bit ago, that wound is healed. And that's the forgetting part. I always want to do it. Pastor, how long I've been?
Absolutely no idea.
You asked for a little bit of help, and here's what. 50, oh my goodness! Okay, I'll move quickly. Yeah, I'm not thanking you, Mark. I was hoping it was less than that. Okay, the second step in forgiveness is counting the cost. Just like when you go to a restaurant, they itemize. You know, you had this dinner, you had this drink, this dessert, and that there's a cost on the bottom. You can't forgive somebody if you don't know what it cost you. Maybe it cost your reputation. George is giving me a signal on the screen up here. You can't forgive somebody if you don't know what it cost you. Did it cost your reputation? Did it cost you financially? What did it cost you in that? You need to recognize the cost before you can truly forgive. Bring the microphone up to my bride up here. And then we'll bring it back to Rob. Yes, yeah, yeah, my bride. That's my wife. My wife, Jason. Who else are we?
He probably didn't know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, counting the cost.
Hold up a little closer, sir.
We should also count the benefit.
Okay.
Because, like the used car salesman, you were wronged and it's fine to be hurt, but then you learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can think of all kinds of things where I've been wronged and hurt, and you grow and you learn and you. So it's easier to forgive as time passes, but something to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's bring it back to Robin, and then we'll get to step three.
I just wanted to say it's kind of like grief. It's a process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
And everybody goes through it in a different way
to
get to the same end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One stage at a time.
Yeah, just like in grief share, we say that your grief journey, and that depends on your relationship to the one that's passed on. It's unique. Just like your relationship is unique, your journey is unique. Forgiveness is similar. These are general steps in that, and I believe that they are in sequence, which is a little different than grief share in that. But it's a little different based on what happened, your relationship to the person. Yeah, it's a little unique for each one. Now, the third step is a determination to forgive, a decision to forgive. And that may be hard. I mean, let's face it, there's some things in this world that happen. Well, we know someone whose wife and child died in a car accident from a drunk driver last fall.
That's hard to forgive, that drunk driver. You have to make a decision. Have to.
Sometimes I've had to pray, Lord, help me to want to forgive. I forgive. Help me to want to forgive them. Help me, bring me to that place.
And that's exactly right. And I'm convinced that forgiveness is not in my heart naturally, in any of our hearts naturally. We need the Lord's help to forgive. It's His love, His sacrifice, His grace that empowers us to forgive. But we need to make the determination. It's a decision, my decision, not someone else's. And then we lay it at the foot of the cross. And I find it helpful when I'm praying with someone to have them visualize taking that rock out of their knapsack or backpack and laying it at the foot of the cross. That cost, what it costs them, lay all of that at the foot of the cross. Okay, Mark.
You know, a scripture that I have struggled with for 70 years is Matthew 5, 43 and 44. And he says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your enemies or love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." And my attitude has always has been, are you kidding me? I'm going to pray for this guy so that he can persecute me more? But what the Lord showed me through the difficulties that we've been going through here in these last 2 to 3 weeks is that that person doesn't know what they don't know. It's like when Jesus said on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And when I give that over to God through prayer, I am releasing myself and asking God to intervene for me on my behalf for them. If I don't do that, He can't do it. But if I do release it and I say, "Lord, I just give it over to you. I can't deal with it anymore." Then He can take His power to intervene and intercede on my behalf. I'm not responsible anymore.
Real quick. You have to forgive me because we're going to go over.
I do know from experience when we are praying for them, you know, there's been many times that the person never came and asked for forgiveness, but I kept praying. I mean, we used to attend a church a long time ago. We have family that we've had problems with, and but I chose, because I knew we had to, just choose to forgive. And one, when you're praying for, I wasn't as diligently, but I still, you know, forgiveness and not becoming bitter. You don't sin in that, because you're not, like, saying all kinds of bad things and creating more bitterness within yourself. But then when the Lord convicts their heart and they come back for whatever, it's so much easier to come back together, because you don't have all this unforgiveness. And God, it was His vengeance. It was His, He justified the situation. And then they come back and repent, and it's just so much easier in the relationship.
True. And there's one more step in that once we take what's been done to us and lay it at the cross, we turn around and walk away. We walk away because as humans, we have a tendency to pick it back up and stick that rock in the backpack again and carry it. We haven't really forgiven. Something else, and then I want to pray for a moment, and that is that, and I think it's what Natalie said, it came out here, and that unforgiveness is a sin. Unforgiveness is a sin, right? I've said that something that God is willing to forgive, I'm not. In fact, I put myself in the place of God. right? Which makes me my own idol, a better one that's made of wood, right? And tell them I'll be right there. So unforgiveness is a sin, right? And when we hold unforgiveness, we really need to go ask the Lord for forgiveness for our unforgiveness. Now, I want to take a moment again. If you raise your hand, or if the Lord brought somebody to your mind during this message this morning, and that, I'm going to ask that we all pray and forgive that person. Give that person to the Lord. Tell them that you want to go through these steps and that to forgive the person so that you're not bound to them. You're not bound to the events. And that. So, Father God, I ask that you would touch hearts here, Lord. If forgiveness needs to take place, Lord, if it's appropriate for it to happen right now, let it be so, Lord. If somebody needs to take it home to count the cost, maybe even write it down so that they know exactly what they're forgiven, and that give them the strength to do that and help them to have the heart to do it. Lord, we thank you that you are a forgiving God. Because without it, there is no relationship with you. We have no ability to respond to your love. You made that possible for us, and we thank you. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, what if you can't forgive? I just can't forgive. And I come across this, unfortunately, more often than I would like. I just can't forgive. It hurts too much. I don't want to think about it. It's too bad. I can't forgive. Right? Does that mean that God won't forgive me? What do I do now? What I tell people is, it's a little bit what Pastor Darren said a little bit ago. I ask them, are they willing to ask the Lord to give them a heart that's willing to forgive? Lord, would you soften my heart? Would you give me a heart that's loving enough that I can forgive what they did to me, that I don't have to live with this? Some people tell me, no, I don't even want to do that. Well, are you willing to ask the Lord to make you willing to receive that heart? I'll take them out 7 willings if I need to. Eventually, most people go, okay, yeah, okay, Lord, give me that heart. I don't know whether they mean it or not, but that's a different question. Okay. Right? True forgiveness flows from the knowledge of how much we have been forgiven through Christ. That's the beginning of all forgiveness. That's the absolute beginning of all forgiveness. And close by a quote from Corrie Ten Boom. I think you all are familiar with Corrie, right? Her family, they were sent to concentration camps during World War II for hiding Jews, right? If I'm not mistaken, her sister died in the concentration camp. If anybody had a reason to hate, to want revenge, to find reasons not to forgive, Corrie would be that person. Well, here's what she said. Forgiveness is the key which unlocks the door of resentment and the handcuffs of hatred. Unlocks the door of resentment, the handcuffs of hatred. It breaks the chains of bitterness and the shackles of selfishness. This is from a woman who was in a concentration camp. The forgiveness of Jesus not only takes away our sins, it makes them as if they had never been. Would you all stand and join me in prayer? Father God, you are so gracious, Lord. Your grace is overwhelming, Lord. And I ask that this morning, your grace would wash over us, Lord, that it would cause us to take any unforgiveness that we're holding in our hearts and soften our hearts so that we might forgive, Lord, so that we're not bound to bad memories and people that did bad things to us, Lord, so that our relationship with you is not hindered, not spoiled by this bitter root that is left growing in our heart. Lord God, I ask your hand would be on this congregation, that you would bless us, that you would walk with us, and that we would always, always, always be in the forefront of our mind, your grace, your forgiveness, your sacrifice for us. We thank you for our Savior. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. 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 Thanks, everyone. Have a great week. See you all Tuesday night.